Well, creeps, you know what that means. You're listening to yet another episode of Must Hate Zombies, the world's only post-apocalyptic dating show and relationship advice from a three-time loser. Tonight, we want to do something a little different. I want to get kind of serious for a minute, if it's okay with my co-host. Introductions, perhaps, on the off chance that you're new. I can't believe any of the eight people listening to this don't already know me. I am the creepy old guy. Of late, my co-host is Trevor. Trevor, how are you this evening? Excellent, dude. I'm glad to hear it. You just got back from a trip to the your sort of Mecca, right? Yeah, Boise is beautiful this time of year, isn't it? Anyway, getting on with our main topic. I don't mean to cut you off there, Trevor. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about missing persons. It's kind of a serious thing. I don't do any show prep. Trevor, however, has done some show prep for this. And how many unsolved missing persons did you find that there were for 2000? What was the last year we had information? 2015, really? That's weird. I'd think the FBI with all that money would be a little better than that, would you? Yeah, right? Oh, we forgot to tell everybody what we're drinking. I am having a East Side Dark Lager from Lakefront Brewery. This was a gift from our good friend Amy the Poet. Hi, Amy. So, the FBI has stats out for 2015. And how many missing persons were there? That's insane. And that's unsolved, correct? That isn't... Right. Okay. Yeah, that's unsolved. Now, one of the things I did find in the little bit of research I did was that if a missing person is reported in, say, 2017 and not found in 2017, the FBI considers it an unsolved missing person for the year 2017. So, for instance, let's say December 31st, I go out with the guys and I get crocked. And I don't come home by midnight, and somebody, I don't know who the fuck it would be, reports that I'm a missing person. So now I'm a missing person. A few days later, I wake up in Vegas, and I find myself in a jail cell with no ID or whatever. So we solve my missing person. I turn up. Whoever was actually giving a shit about me discovers that I am, in fact, alive. Everything's okay. Never mind. Missing person solved. But it's solved on January 2nd of 2018. The FBI is going to consider that an unsolved missing person for the year 2017. Right, exactly. So, if, you know, if D.B. Cooper's body were to turn up tomorrow, they wouldn't go back and change the numbers for the year he disappeared. They'd still count him as a missing person for that year because it's been 30 or 40 years since he went missing. Now he's solved. Oh, we found his body. Super, that's a missing person solved. Yes, it's solved, but it doesn't solve for that year. It's solved for 2018, which oddly enough goes against the stats for 2018. So in 2018, if we have 10,000 missing persons, and none of them solved, yet we solved a missing person from 1930, they're going to list it as 10,000 missing persons, one solved missing person. So it looks very much like 9,999 people went missing and we found one of them. That's not the case. You're right, exactly. You make a good, yeah, exactly. It's not, Trevor, you're making a good point, bud. You know, I didn't ask you what you're having to drink tonight. What are you drinking, Trevor? It looks great. And you brought that back? Fuck, you didn't bring me any, bitch. Where was it? Oh, anyway, so it looks very much like one of the 10,000 got solved. When in fact, none of the 10,000 got solved. what we solved was a missing person from 30 years ago or last year or 2 years ago or whenever. So it may look like we solved a missing person for this particular year, but we didn't. It was a missing persons from last year, 10 years ago, whatever. So when you look at the FBI stats for missing persons, it's a little misleading. The good news is anybody that is typically publishing this information, other than the FBI, they will qualify it for you. They will say, hey, you know, here's the deal. Yeah, it lists 10 people being found, 10 missing persons being solved for this 1 week. But the fact of the matter is that was a mass grave we found. Those people all died in 1953. So it's going to count as a missing person being solved, 10 solved in 2018, when in fact, yeah, they were solved in 2018, but they occurred in 1950, whatever the fuck. See what I mean? Those statistics are misleading. There are a lot of missing persons. Missing persons are related or reported every day. Yeah, multiples a day. I don't mean exactly, Trevor. I don't mean to, you know, say that there's one or two reported every day. There's thousands reported nationwide every day. And a few go solved. A few do get solved. We had a missing person here in the Wastelands. Right, from Wastelands High School. Just came up missing. 72 hours the kid was gone, and then he just turned up. And all anybody would say, it was real hush-hush. He's back in the caring family environment. Well, it's not a caring family environment. His mom's a fucking pothead, and his dad's a fucking dope dealer, I think. I don't know, but the child is not likely in a loving environment, but he did get found. Oddly enough, nobody knew he was missing until he didn't show up to work. I think work, his employer called his home multiple times and finally got a hold of the mother, who said, oh, I thought he was at work. Yeah, good parenting. Right? Right? So anyway, you can see where the missing person thing is a big deal. It continues to be a big deal. A surprising number of missing persons turn out to be murders, and they are not solved in many cases for many years. So again, it's the statistics are very misleading. The FBI will say, oh, we solved a murder. Well, yeah, you solved a murder. You discovered a body and realized it was murder. But it was never listed as a murder. It was listed as a missing persons 5 years ago. Now, you found the body, discovered it was murder, changed it to a murder, and then solved. So now they're getting credit for a solved murder when, in fact, it was really a missing person that was a murder. It's going to go down on the books as a solved missing person and probably a solved murder also, which is ridiculous. They're going to get double credit. So it's kind of a mess in my book. But that's the way statistics are. The fact of the matter is, anytime I hear stats, I know that statistically you can turn any number into something that you want. If I'm looking for a particular outcome on a bar graph, I can make that happen. It's very misleading. Numbers are, you'd think numbers would be fairly finite. Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, 1 + 1 is always 2, until we make that a statistic, and then suddenly 1 + 1 is 1.5 because there's a 25% margin of error. And 25% of 1 is 25%, and 25% of the second 1 is 25%, so we get it up with 1.5. Yeah, somewhere there's some asshole that manipulates numbers just in that very way to make them say the things they want. Right. Exactly. Trevor makes a great point. Unemployment numbers. Understand that unemployment numbers don't mean everybody is looking
for a job. You know, we take, let's just say there's 1 million people looking for a job in this country. 1 million people. Guess what? They don't say there's 1 million unemployed people. The only people that count as unemployed are the people who are drawing unemployment. So if I have unemployment benefits for 6 months and they run out, now I still don't have a fucking job, but guess what? On a statistic, I'm no longer considered unemployed because I'm no longer drawing unemployment. Yeah, do that math. Isn't that fucked up? So occasionally you'll see things like, oh, the unemployment rate really dropped. No, a bunch of people that were getting unemployment were suddenly no longer eligible. So, yeah, the unemployment rate, by definition, dropped. But the reality is we have the same number of people looking for jobs. So, watch, be careful. Be careful of statistics. Be careful of what statistics say. Anything a statistic says is prone to manipulation by people. You can't just put your faith in statistics. There are qualifiers. And if you doubt that, again, I call you back to the missing persons concept. Hey, we solved 10 missing persons this year. Yeah, but they were the ones that were reported missing 10 years ago. If you lived in a community where 10 people went missing, there were 10 reported missing persons, and they found 10 dead bodies that were reported missing in 1972, they would say, okay, we had 10 missing persons, and we solved 10 missing person reports. Therefore, we solved as many as were reported. That's true. 10 were reported, we solved 10. It's not the same 10, you moron. So don't tell me you solved 100% of missing persons. You didn't. You solved 10. 10 were reported, but it's two different 10s. At the risk of sounding cliche, it's apples and oranges. So, again, don't put a lot of faith in stats when you see statistics. When they start telling you that unemployment is the lowest it's been in 10 years, you know, that may just be because people are no longer eligible for benefits. We may have the same number, if not more, people looking for jobs. It's very misleading. Very, very misleading. It's, you know, a lot of us understand the concept of minimum wage. And if we raise minimum wage, what does that do? Well, these people get paid more, right? Yes, they do. What is the other side of that? Well, the cost of whatever these people are making goes up. It has to. How else are you going to pay these people? They have to raise the price. If a hamburger costs $1, and this guy's making $8 an hour, and now suddenly we go, you know what? We need to pay him $10. That hamburger ain't going to cost $1 anymore, motherfucker. If it was my business, I'd be going, fuck that. Hamburgers are now $2. Somehow I have to offset the cost of paying these guys more. But somewhere else, there's some guy going, woohoo! Minimum wage went up by 22%. Well, yeah, but the price of every goddamn thing went up by 80%. So, how much did you gain by getting a 22% increase in your pay if that 22% increase in pay caused nearly everything you need to live, food, shelter, clothing, to go up by 40%? You can gain a fucking thing. So, just be wary of numbers. Anytime you see stats posted, be very wary. I see statistics all the time that say something like 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. Well, if we go by that number, creepy old guy'd still be married, wouldn't he? Been married 3 times. 2 of mine failed. 3rd one has to work, right? No, it doesn't. Still failed 3 times. But wait a minute, I thought only 2 out of 3 failed. Well, it depends on which 2, doesn't it? Or which 3 we're looking at. If you're looking at Guy Kane's 3 marriages, all 3 failed. So, be wary of numbers. Be wary of statistics. One of the things I've never really done is tracked the numbers regarding Mustang zombies. Occasionally, Mock will tell me, dude, you went up X number of spots in the rankings. Okay, super. I don't know how to look those numbers up, and I don't want to look those numbers up. I don't keep track of how many downloads my show's had. I don't keep track of how many listeners I have. Not that it would be difficult. I could probably send you all Christmas cards and nobody'd ever know the fucking difference. The reality is, we like to think of numbers as being fairly finite. And fairly believable, and fairly solid, and fairly concrete. They're not. Numbers, like anything else known to man, are subject to interpretation. We can interpret those numbers any way we see fit. There's always somebody telling me, and I'm sure you've heard it too, how many Christians are in this country? Did you know there's 3.8 million Christians in this country? Or whatever the number is, I'm just making shit up. Well, wow, when you hear it like that, 3.8 million, fuck me, that's a lot. Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex, is over 1 million people. So that'll kind of put it in perspective. That's one city. We had four of those. According to these people, that say there's 3.8 million Christians in the world, or in this country. That's just really less than four Dallas-Fort Worths. That's really not that good. It's a big fucking country. You've got four nice-sized communities, don't get me wrong. Not to mention when they say Christians, what does that include? Fuck me, that includes a lot, doesn't it? A Jehovah's Witness is a Christian. A Mormon is a Christian. Catholic. And all the different offshoots of Catholicism. Lutheran. Presbyterian. Baptist. All Christian. So, just keep that in mind. We've talked about these things before. A similar concept. You know, if you read an article that says that, you know, 83% of all white people are racist bigots, misogynist, wife-beating, t-shirt-wearing crapheads, you need to think twice about that. That's an article that's blanketing white people. And as I've said before, the acid test is anywhere you see white or Caucasian, replace it with black or African American. When we do that, does the article sound racist? Well, yeah, it sounds terrible. Okay, then it was racist to begin with. Changing the race from white to black, or from white to Hispanic, or from black to Hispanic, or whatever, shouldn't change the message of the article. So if we change it from white to black and suddenly it sounds racist, it was racist to begin with. All we did was turn the coin over. It's the same coin. You're just looking at it from the other side now. Same thing with these numbers. Watch out for numbers. Watch out for graphs. Infographics. Things of that nature. It's all a matter of perspective. There's almost nothing that we can't twist to fit our own desires, to fit our own needs, to fit our agenda. Now you're scared, aren't you? Now you're scared. You should be. The word agenda just frightens the fuck out of me anymore. There's always somebody talking about this agenda or that agenda. The mainstream media agenda. That doesn't scare me because we know that mainstream media is just full of shit lately. And by lately, I mean the last 30 years. Not that they've ever been particularly reputable. And you guys have heard me tell a story about John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Jefferson paying somebody to write bogus articles about Adams. Wow. You know, 1803 and we're already doing this bullshit? So it's not a new thing that the media is being used to achieve a particular goal. There really isn't anything new under the sun, people. Things haven't changed. Mock and I have brought this up to you guys before. People have always sucked. The world has always been full of evil. It's just a little more in our face now. You know, the media makes sure, Facebook makes sure, social media makes sure. Anything bad that happens, you're aware of it. Instantly. Instantly, in many cases. Within moments, you are aware of an active shooter situation. You are aware of a plane going down. You are aware of a ship that sunk. You are aware of whatever the fuck horrible event is going on. Run screaming. Things have always sucked. Numbers have always been manipulated. They will continue to be manipulated. Many people relate better to numbers. When you and I boil down anything to numbers, we go, ooh, that makes sense. Numbers are finite. They're understandable. It's something we can relate to. If I can manipulate the thing that you relate to easily, then I can manipulate you easily. Something that's become apparent to me, that, you know, the old saying about you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Here's the problem. You don't have to fool all the people. You have to fool that percentage that tips the scales in your favor. At any given time, politically, this country is divided. 48%, 48%, 4% undecided. We have 48% on the liberal side of the fence. We got 48% on the conservative side of the fence. We got 4% that are going to wish and wash back and forth. Guess who we got to fool? I don't have to fool the 48% that don't agree with me. I certainly don't have to fool the 48% that do agree with me. But if I can get that 4% in the middle, if I can fool them long enough to get them to vote, we've turned the tide, haven't we? And the fact of the matter is, I don't have to fool all of them. I just got to fool 3%, right? To get it over that 51% mark. And that's the reality of where our country is now. Nobody gives a shit about the 48% on the left. Nobody gives a shit about the 48% on the right. What we need to do is concentrate on the 4% that are undecided. Sway them to this side or that side. Do we want them to think that Clinton colluded with the Russians? Or do we want them to think that Trump colluded with the Russians? Well, which one better suits our needs? Which one better suits our agenda? See, I told you I fucking hate that word. Agenda. 4%. 4% of our population holds the future of our nation in its hands. And the worst part is it doesn't fucking know. It has no clue. In many cases, it doesn't even know it's part of the 4%. And that's frightening. Numbers lie. Not because they want to, but because they're easy to manipulate. And it is more than a little scary to think that something so finite and so easy to understand and comprehend can be manipulated. If you do not believe me, talk to an accountant. That's what they do. They manipulate numbers all day long, every day. They manipulate numbers. They look at the numbers, they interpret it, they find out the outcome of those numbers, and then go, that outcome is not what we want. We want this outcome. How do we arrive at this outcome? Well, we have to change these numbers. Okay, let's make it happen. And they do it. And you can too. I've seen it in the corporate world quite a bit. They have the numbers, and there's hundreds of them maybe. And then over here, they have the answer. Now the answer isn't the truth. The answer is the answer they want. So how do we get from point A, all these numbers, to point C, the answer we want? Well, we shuffle these numbers around, and we go, well, you know, let's take out the high one. Let's take out the real low ones. We'll just work with the median, the middle ground. And then we'll go, well, you know, that didn't really work either. Okay, now what else can we do? Well, let's just talk about tires. And that didn't really get us first. Okay, let's just talk about brakes. And that didn't really, let's just talk about body panels. Let's just talk about gas tanks. Let's fuck around with them numbers. Find the numbers that support the answer they want. And those are the numbers they present. Here, look at our findings. That's another one. Anytime you hear, look at our findings. I'd be a little interested to know what else you found. Because I'm betting you found a bunch of shit that doesn't support your findings when you found the stuff that does support your agenda, your desired outcome. Is any of this making sense to you guys? Is any of it sinking in? It is very easy to manipulate people with words. It's very simple. You use words that people want to hear in an order they want to hear them. And when you do that, almost anything else you say is going to be acceptable. Because they've already won you over. Once you're won over, you can forgive a lot. Those individuals who are on Team Clinton will easily turn a blind eye to her, say, selling uranium. Those individuals who are on Team Trump will easily turn a blind eye to a porn star who claims he fucked her. How can that be? Well, would you believe a porn star? Are porn stars known for being honest? Are the Russians known for being upstanding individuals? No, of course not. There are times when I look at Stormy, whatever the fuck her name is, Daniels, and I go, I believe her. I believe he fucked her, and I believe he paid her off. There are times I look at Clinton, and I go, yeah, I can picture her selling uranium. And I look at Putin, and I go, yeah, I can picture you buying it, motherfucker. But if you're on Team Hillary, you're going to be more likely to let that slide because you're on the team. And you want to believe the best about your team. Same goes with Team Trump. Trump supporters want to believe that Stormy Daniels is a liar. And there's probably plenty of evidence to support that. Hillary supporters want to believe that Putin is a liar. Or that whoever is saying that she sold uranium is a liar, whatever. And there's probably plenty of evidence to support that. Some people want to believe that Hillary Clinton did in fact sell uranium. And there's some evidence to support that. And that's what they're going to believe. They're going to look at those numbers. They're going to look at those words. They're going to look at those reports that support their belief that she is a criminal. And that's all they're going to focus on. Her supporters are going to turn a blind eye to that because they don't want to see it. They're going to ignore it. And we can do the same thing with Trump. Furthermore, we can do the same thing with numbers. we're going to look at the statistics that support what we want to believe. We're going to ignore the rest. That's the danger of numbers. Isn't that right, Trevor? See, Trevor agrees. Does any of this make sense? Because I'm not drunk by any means.
I am drinking,
but I am not drunk. Now, this weekend, this past weekend, I had an opportunity to go to Hannibal, Missouri. See my good friend John L. Davis. See a bunch of my friends. People that I last July was in a movie with, believe it or not. Creepy old guy got to be in a movie. The movie is called Friend. It was a short film, about 9 minutes long. And it's kind of interesting. Even with me knowing the general premise of this movie, going into it, and having read the script in advance, and so on and so forth, I was still very impressed to see it on the big screen. Those of you listening can actually watch it on YouTube. Look for Friend. It's not hard to find. I think it says Friend Release 2018, something like that. It's a very good movie. The script was written by, again, my friend John L. Davis, the fourth. Josh Mulner directed it. There are a number of really good actors in it. Actors, actresses. And me. I'm not an actor. I'm not even close. However, I'm not above just jumping in and trying it. Fuck it. I'll try anything. I don't give a shit. So if you get a chance, go on YouTube, look for Friend. And we'll have a link on the Must Hate Zombies page as well. If you don't want to do that, just go to the Must Hate Zombies social media Facebook page. We'll have a link in there. While I was in Hannibal, I had a chance to talk to a number of other individuals who are not involved in the film. And we were in a place called the Cheese House in downtown Hannibal. It's a fabulous place. Has great cheese and beer. The gentleman that runs it is a Wisconsin cheesehead through and through. If I had to guess, he's either of German or Polish descent. Most likely Polish. Based on his facial features. But that's just my guess. Very, very, very nice guy. But while we were there, we were discussing any number of political issues and different things of that nature. And the subject of the Boy Scouts came up. Now, there's five of us sitting at the table. Myself and my friend Kevin Cruzy. Kevin and I have been friends for 25 years. And Kevin and I are both Eagle Scouts. So when these guys start talking about Boy Scouts and the demise of the Boy Scouts, Kevin and I sat there very quietly and listened. The reason we listened is because we wanted to hear what other people thought. We knew the likelihood that any of the other three individuals at that table, the likelihood of any of them being Eagle Scouts was pretty slim. At the time, I became an Eagle. Kevin became an Eagle before me by several years. Five or six at least. But at that time, only about 1% of all Boy Scouts made it to Eagle. So Kevin and I are sitting there. There's five of us at the table. Kevin and I are sitting there. We both know we're Eagle Scouts. The odds of any of the other three being Eagle Scouts are pretty slim. The general consensus was that the Boy Scouts died years ago. They died. At the very least, you could say, well, they're not really dead. Yeah, they are. The Boy Scouts, as I knew them, the Boy Scouts, as any semblance of what I knew, died some time ago. this whole concept of, well, we're going to let girls in the Boy Scouts. That's fine. It's a private organization. I think they should be allowed to do whatever they want. Does that mean I'm going to support them? Absolutely not. But I didn't really support them any time in the last 10 years, so not really a big deal. I firmly believe that there should be Boy Scouts and there should be Girl Scouts. I firmly believe that both organizations should spend time outdoors and learn about the outdoors, learn about our environment, all that sort of thing. Learn how to camp, learn how to build a fire, learn first aid, learn all the things that are associated with scouting, whether it be girl or boy scouting. Girl Scouts has turned into cookie sales, and I don't know what the fuck Boy Scouts has turned into. I'm not involved, nor will I be involved.
But it was interesting to sit with some other individuals and hear their thoughts on world events, and then to find out there are some things they knew nothing about that my friend Kevin and I knew about because of our career paths. Kevin, also a correctional officer, actually retired. So he actually spent more time doing it than I did. And yet, we knew things that had happened in corrections that they knew nothing about. And I was interested to find that they knew nothing about Richard Speck and the videotape that was recorded at Stateville Penitentiary featuring Mr. Speck, showing him doing things like drugs and being a sexual deviant, all on video. VHS tape, which is notable because it means that somewhere in that prison system was a VHS camera in the possession of an inmate. Furthermore, it means that they had a blank tape and the ability to record what was going on, and they had the ability to get that tape outside of the prison to where it could be released to the public. Furthermore, the subject of that video was Mr. Speck holding a ridiculous amount of cash. Prisoners are not allowed to have cash money. So the fact that he had cash money was fairly impressive. Featured Mr. Speck doing drugs, which meant he actually had drugs to do in a prison system. So you would think that if it got out to the general public that a convicted murderer, a man doing life sentence for a heinous crime of killing, I believe, 8 nursing students in in or about Chicago, they actually made a Dirty Harry movie based on Mr. Speck's life, criminal life anyway. But here it is. A convicted felon with cash that he's not supposed to have, with drugs he's not supposed to have, doing sex stuff on video, being recorded on a video camera he's not supposed to have, and then having it get outside the prison system to the general public. It's pretty fucked up. How much of a fail was that for the Department of Corrections? In this case, the Illinois Department of Corrections. And yet, our friends in Missouri knew nothing about this. That's a little frightening to me. A little frightening. It means the Department of Corrections did a fabulous job of covering it up. It means that people outside the prison system, still to this day, have no idea what prison's really like or what goes on in there. None. No fucking clue. If you're listening to this and you have not ever been a correctional officer, you have no clue what goes on in a prison.
None. I guarantee it. Whatever you think you know about prison, forget it. Just forget it. You will never understand what it's like. You'll never understand what it's like to be a prison guard. Hopefully you'll never understand what it's like to be a prisoner. It's fucked. On both sides of that coin. It's absolutely fucked. It is unfortunate that the public doesn't know what goes on behind the walls and the fences. Because I think if the general public did know, they would fucking absolutely shit a brick. They would absolutely insist that things change. They would absolutely insist that the prison system be fixed. The criminals actually be punished. That they not be allowed to get a college degree while they're locked up. I saw individuals doing life sentences. Life. These are individuals who will never walk the streets again, and yet were able to enroll in free college courses through the prison and get degrees. Now, what possible purpose could it serve for an inmate to have a degree? What's he going to do with it? Particularly a life sentence inmate. Yeah, I'm doing life. I've got a degree in law. I think when I get out, oh, wait a minute, I'm never getting out. You see my point? It's fucked. Many, many, many things in this world are fucked. I don't even know where I'm going with this. Okay, guys, I don't know where this thing got off. It got kind of dark there. Fuck it. Anyway, this is probably the worst show I've ever done. Hopefully Trevor will be back next week. Hopefully Z-Pac Nation will be back soon. And hopefully we can all start making some halfway decent fucking podcasts. Anyway, guys, keep up the good work. Really appreciate everything everybody does for me. I've had a lot of good support with my writing. I've had great support with this little short film I've been in. I've had apparently good support with this show. The fact that we're still doing it after 3 or 4 years, whatever it's been, is just fucking insane. You know, granted, I used to do a show about every 3 months, and it looks like I'm getting back on that schedule, but Trevor will be back soon. I don't know how long we'll have him with his impending wedding. And the possibility of him disappearing into the wild, wild west. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe I need to find a female co-host to replace him. What do you think? If you guys know anybody, any female co-hosts that'd be interested in being on this stupid show, preferably someone who can actually come to Castle Anthrax and hang out and do it. It's much better if we can do this in person. Anyway, you guys all please take care. All right, be careful, be safe. Have a good evening. Creepy old guy, I'm out of here.